B-Pod Studios.
Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins will be back at work tonight at home against Detroit. Judd Surratt and Bob Beards have the Duncan pregame at 6:30 and the faceoff at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins will be without Brad Marchand. He was suspended for 3 games for slew-footing Vancouver defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson Sunday night. TSN in Canada adds that Jake DeBrusque asked for a trade over the weekend. The team is now in the process of seeing whether or not they can accommodate him. Celtics' Enes Kanter officially became a U.S. citizen yesterday and changed his name to Enes Kanter Freedom. He and the Green off tonight. They host Philadelphia at TD Garden tomorrow night. And finally, the New England Revolution will play a playoff game tonight at home against New York City FC. The winner goes to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can listen in at 7:30 over on Rock 92.9. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the Corcoran and Haviland Insurance Group. For all your home, auto, and business insurance needs, visit chinsurance.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 9:30.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys. This is almost like ass everywhere, but it's like just being in a sea of heavy, hairy dudes. Like, I can't believe, like, boys.
Or you're just describing the video.
Yeah.
Boys,
give me summertime love, give me summertime love.
Boys, boys, boys,
let the summertime roll, let the summertime roll.
Boys.
This is the new goal song, it should be.
This was, of course, this is a cover of the Dylan song.
Right.
Air Force One, when he first went electric. Nick Foligno is from the Boston Bruins. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Nick Foligno, hello, sir.
Hello, I thought I didn't have to hear that song anymore, but trying to make that thing go. Like your persistence.
We will not stop until it's the goal song, because
we're never gonna stop.
Yeah.
We're gonna die with Bear Force Hill. One.
Yes,
Bear Force One at the funeral. Bear Force One everywhere.
2035, and it's still trying. Yeah.
Exactly. They're playing in some bubble. Like on the moon, and we're trying to figure out what a new goal song would be. Well, Nick Foligno, here we are, and did you think Marchand deserved the 3 games there for the slew foot? I would imagine you did.
No, I've changed my tune completely now that I play with him. No, you know what? I have to say I was shocked. I didn't think it was a really anything play, to be honest with you. I've seen that happen a lot of times, especially. People forget, and I'm not defending the guy because he's done some things in the past, and that's the way Brad plays, and he's on the edge. But this was one of those things where he's just a smaller statured guy, so his center of gravity, I think, is just it's what ends up being the reason why Oliver Ekman-Larsson kind of falls over. It's not really because of a slew foot. I think he's just planting his feet and battling on a puck, and I don't know why they saw it that way. And it's unfortunate because I've seen way worse slew foots that are real slew foots go unpenalized or unpunished this year, and to see them kind of throw the book at them for 3 games is a little disappointing. But I've had to shake my head a few times at that stuff, so I'm going to keep the rest of my comments quiet now. But that's I'm a little disappointed for Brad, just because I don't think that was a fair punishment.
Well,
but,
I mean, and that's kind of the Betty Lazen. You know, as you said, he's a guy who's unfortunately, you know, gotten a reputation because of the suspensions in the past, and it almost seems like it's made easy for these guys. You know, even if it's questionable, you immediately take a look at the 6 suspensions and you go, okay, well, we have to suspend the guy, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, I get some of that, you know, I really do, because I think if you're a repeat offender and you've done some things, there's just, you know, there's a trust factor that the players in the league don't trust. But you know, I think Brad hasn't been suspended in a while, right? Hasn't really had much. And I think there's also that taken into account. And, you know, you saw it with some other players around the league as well. So I think, like anything, it's just, it should be based on, you know, what actually is happening in the game and at the time. And, you know, and some of that, yes, you have to do, you have to take their track record into account. But I think in this case, it's an unfortunate one because I think it went a little overboard on the way Brad's been playing, especially for us and of late, you know, in his career.
Did you guys see the Lemieux play when Brendan Lemieux bit?
Yes.
Kachuk?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and then Kachuk, after the game, went crazy. What do you make of that Brendan Lemieux fella? He just seems to have a lot of friends around the league, Nick.
I don't know him very well. I obviously know his dad a little bit just from my dad coaching him.
I'm from Detroit. Yeah. His dad is a hero there.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves
really
him.
Well liked
yeah, he yeah. Was well the liked. Way he
Everywhere.
Turtled.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, that was like my brother's favorite player growing up.
Oh, no way. Really? Why?
Oh, I don't know. My brother is...
Well, you're such a pussy. Like, oh, he was the worst. Oh, that's yeah, so funny.
Was, that's another so guy funny. Played on the edge and was definitely crossed that line. But you could, the line was way bigger back then. You could cross that line back in the day.
But he turtled when McCarty went after him after he hit Draper.
He's a Bruins version of Al Samuelson, yes.
It's just the worst turtling I've ever seen. Yeah. I mean, literally turtled. And you're tough. You and your brother, I don't know. It seems, well,
I know, trust me, it surprised me. But, I mean, the guy's got a few cups to his name, so... I'll say this. I don't think there's any room in the game for that at all. So if that's actually what happened and it looks like it is, then, you know, that's ridiculous. We don't want that in our game. Just like we don't want a guy to get spit on. We don't want, like, that just, that's not teaching anything other than just, you know, that the guy blacked out and obviously didn't know what he was doing. Or if he did, then it's just ridiculous. And we don't want those type of players and our plays in the game. So I have nothing against Brent Lemieux. I don't think... You know, I don't really know him that well, so I'm not going to comment, but I just think that is the play and he bit him, then, you know, it's ridiculous, and nobody in this league wants that, not one guy who wants to get bit.
How often does that happen? Because, you know, we all, as, you know, Bruins fans, remember, of course, very famously, Alex Burrows biting Patrice Bergeron's finger.
During the Stanley Cup Finals.
During the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
And then, of course, Luch, you know, jamming his finger into his mouth later on, a couple games later, which I thought was great. But how often does that happen? Like, are these bites going on and we're just not seeing them as fans?
You know, I don't know. I guess we got a bunch of cannibals in the league. No, you know, I don't see it. I mean, I think I'd obviously lose it if somebody bit me, but I don't really notice it because I've been in a few scrums where you're on the ground, anything goes. You know, you get a few eye gouges and things like that, but fish hooks. But I've never really been bit or had somebody bite me or tried to bite somebody if I was mad. One of the funniest things though is Jarkko Ruutu, another kind of hard nosed, kind of a rat player. I was playing with him in Ottawa, and he ended up biting Pierce, I believe his name, the tough guy for them. He had his hand in his face, and he bit him. And, you know, it was right in front of our bench. And we were all like, no. He's like, no, I didn't bite him. There's no way. Like, I didn't bite him. Like, no chance. And then there's a picture, and it's got a picture of him just clawing down, chomping down right on Peter's hand. And we were dying laughing the next day. I mean, it's kind of funny now, but just because he was adamant, I didn't bite him. No way, no way. And he got suspended a few games for that. So we learned not to take everything that Jarkko says to heart after that. So I guess it happens more often than not, but hopefully no more. Cause I just think I get it. Trust me, when you're seeing red, when you'll do anything, you know, but I don't know why biting is your resort to. I would just try to get him back later on in the game. That's all.
Nick, it's interesting. You know, you're talking about being from Detroit and Probert. You know, obviously, maybe the toughest guy, best fighter to ever fight. But there was a time where you talked about blacking out, and there was a time where there was a documentary about Probert, and people said that they would square up with him, and he would have this like blank look on his face. That was like frightening. Like he'd obviously gone to this other place due to drugs or whatever else, and he wasn't like of this planet. Have you ever seen a guy like out of control on the ice where you were like, "Whoa, this guy is dangerous!" Like this guy's playing not with his head in the right place.
No, I mean not really. I'm sure I hate to say it, I'm sure I've gone there a couple times.
Right.
The only guy I think of that when you say that just makes me laugh is this old player, Dean McCammond. Played with him in Ottawa again, but it just makes me laugh because he had a nickname as Hank when Me, Myself, and Irene came out. You know that movie? And,
yes. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because Dean McCammond, he was this like quiet Christian guy, really great guy, awesome guy in the room, and just a really quiet guy. But when somebody made him mad and pissed him off, he went to this alter ego I've never seen, and he was so tough. He would literally square up with just his hands by his side and wait for the guy to come in and punch him, and he'd just start throwing bombs. And so, you know, you think of those things, and I'm like, that would probably, when a guy squares up with you with his hands down, I'm a little worried about a guy like that. So
because you get the first one, it's just going to piss me off more.
And then you're dead. So. That actually makes me think of him. It's funny you're bringing all these stories back right now.
So, Nick, we got to ask you obviously about some of the news that broke yesterday, where it was reported that Jake DeBrusk has asked to be traded from the team. You know, we used to have Jake DeBrusk on a decent amount. That's not any kind of indicator of what's going to happen in your future, but he is someone who obviously has been hot and cold, and obviously last year was a tough year for him. Like, what's it been like the past couple of games with him, and how has he been handling all of this? And did you know about it before the announcements last night?
No, I didn't. And it's hard for me to talk on because, you know, I don't really know enough about it. Obviously, I have a relationship with Jake, and I think he's a great kid and, you know, a great player, obviously. And I think whenever you hear this as fans or as people that are fans of the team, you get emotional because you don't understand why a player would want out or what the case may be. So, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, there's a standard of play that we have here, and that's the Boston Bruin way. And so I understand that, you know, for a while here, it's been tough for him, and he's trying to find his way as a young player. And, you know, there's a maturity that comes along with it. And I think he's learning that sometimes not as fast as other people would like or him himself. But there's a process for every player. And so I think for Jake, and I'm sure his side and the team, they're just trying to figure out what's best for everybody. And, you know, it's a hard situation because, you know, everyone cares. And I know he loves the room and the guys love him in the room. And but there's a business side to it. So you can never really, you know, speculate. It's not really somewhere I can really talk on because I haven't been here long enough. But it's a hard one. I've seen guys do it on my teams before. Where, you know, you have guys that are asking for trades and things like that, so it can get messy. But, you know, at the end of the day, you try to separate church and state, I guess. And, you know, we all care a lot about Jake, and you want what's best for him. So whether it's with us or somewhere else, I think you just wish him the best and hope that if it's here, it works out. And if not, then, you know, he's happy and we move forward as a team because we're ultimately here to win hockey games. And, you know, whether it's with him or without him, our goal is to focus on that, which is a big test tonight for us, again, getting on a roll here. So,
Well, you've said, Nick, that you had people on your team that this has happened with before. Have you ever had a situation like it looks like you're facing tonight where the team is so shorthanded because of Marchand being gone that Jake, who requested a trade from the team, may have to play tonight with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've played with guys that have asked for trades at the start of the year and they end up staying the whole year. So, you know, it's just part of the business. I know it's hard for, that's why I say the emotion, trust us, like we care in our room and obviously you want guys who want to be there. That's so important. And it's, you know, it's important to every fiber of the organization. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a business too. And just because a guy's unhappy, it doesn't mean they can just facilitate a trade tomorrow. And you got to do what's best for the organization. They're always going to do what's best for the organization and the team. So a player has to understand that too when they make an ask like that, that maybe it's not going to happen right away. And you got to be a pro. And, you know, I think that's what Jake has to understand is if that's the situation, then he still needs to come in here and do his job like we expect him to. He's never not done that. He's a great kid. He's, you know, as much as people want to hear the bad stuff because of what just went on or what may have occurred, you know, he's still coming in and you know, being a good guy in the room. So, you know, now we expect him that when he steps on the ice for a game, it's to do whatever he can to help the Boston Bruins until told otherwise. So,
no, we like him, and I think that most everybody who knows this situation, I think, realizes that it's best for both sides if he maybe tries something somewhere else. I don't, as a matter of fact, this is one of those times where someone's requested to be traded, and I don't feel a lot of people are like offended by that.
Right.
And if anything, as you may or may not know, Boston sports fans can be very sensitive to things like that. You don't want to be part of our team.
Yeah.
In this case, I think we've just seen Jake having his own issues, and I think that we can kind of almost empathize with what's going on.
Because he was really good in the preseason, too. I mean, yeah. We've seen him perform well. He's at, what, he scored 27 three or four years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, he's had his high points, but he's been more low than high recently.
Yeah, and I think that just it comes with, like I said, maturing as a player, too, though. You have to understand it's an all-the-time thing. And, you know, there's just as much onus on Jake as anything else or any organization or finger-pointing. It always comes down to the player, and I think it's sometimes hard to realize. And so that's where you just say, if the change of scenery is best for him, then we wish Jake well. If it's here, then we're going to figure out a way to make it work, and that's all you can do. And, you know, but our focus is on winning hockey games. And, you know, when you're in that room, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to be a part of that. So until told otherwise, I expect that from Jake and any other guy that's in our locker room. And, you know, we're a team that's trying to find our way still here with the new faces, and you know, it was a big win the other night coming back, and we want to get momentum off that. So we're you know, like I said, if Jake's in the lineup or what, it's you know, our focus isn't on that and worrying about that. It's all right. We're facing the Detroit Red Wings tonight. We got to get ready for that.
So I saw your quote from the other night. Apparently, you've been here long enough to be blinded by the greatness that is Patrice Bergeron, and you're falling in line with the Brad Marchands of the world, in which it almost seems like it's a bromance that cannot be broken.
Yeah, it's making me sick, like I said. No. you know what? He's just a fantastic person. And I knew that coming in. You know, his hair is always... I always laugh. Like, I have no hair now, but I don't remember my hair ever looking that perfect at, like, 8 a.m., you know? So it just drives me nuts a little bit. But... yeah, he's, you know what, he's a really good man, and I'm really enjoying playing with him and amongst the other guys. You know, it's just, you can tell why the room is the way it is, you know, just the way he commands it, and even just not even trying, just the way he goes about his business, I say. Like, he's always on point, needs to be where he needs to be, and is pushing the room in the right direction. So it's been a lot of fun to learn from and play with, and also get to know him. He's just a great guy off the ice.
Yeah, those guys in Quebec with their hair, they love it. All right. Nick Foligno, thank you so much for the time. Best of luck. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Always a good chat.
All right, see you, man. See you. Yeah, by the way, Brian Kelly's LSU deal.
Yeah, I just saw this.
The same as what's-his-face just got at Michigan State.
Yep. Well, did you hear about
10 years, $95 million. Oof, and he left Notre Dame. Yep. Oh,
That's the first time ever a coach has voluntarily left. Every other head coach in the history of the program has been fired.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. I was reading that this morning.
Holtz didn't?
Newt Rockne?
Rockne passed away, I think.
Yeah. So,
but he wasn't fired.
Yeah, no. Was Holtz fired?
That's my point. I think
No one's
fired
left.
Or retired is what you, or retired?
Left, maybe it's the way it was phrased, the article I read this morning was it's the first time anyone has voluntarily just left.
Oh,
everyone
okay.
else
and not retire. Okay,
everyone else is either retired or have been fired.
Well, did you hear about the rumored Lincoln Riley to USC deal that he just got? So this is a guy named Robert Hefner. He says he's a Sooner insider, and there's a bunch of people who follow him. So take it for what it is. He said these are the USC contract details, and he said not confirmed, but my sources say $110 million. USC is buying both his homes in Norman for $500,000 over asking price.
So he's buying them for $550,000.
They said actually, and he's getting $1 million bonus. They're buying him a $6 million home in L.A. for him and unlimited use of the private jet 24/7 for his family.
So I saw that, and then like that unlimited use of the private jet, like how it seems like there's a lot of hoops to jump through. It's not just as easy as asking for it. Seems like if there's one USC private jet and like you're like always like every weekend like, hey, need the jet.
Think they just got one jet?
Well, it's got to be a booster.
Sure.
Because this...
Because there's those programs. It's like, you know, super jet. Like, call a jet whenever you want it. And maybe USC's got some deal like that.
Well, USC's a public university, so there's got to be boosters. So, because apparently when Mel Tucker took the job at Michigan State, he outright thanked two boosters for, like, the deal. So obviously these dudes were ponying up like a ton of money. I don't know how it works. I got in a conversation with my father, and now I'm reliving it, and I don't want to go back into it. I don't know how it works, but he thanked these two boosters. So the USC private jet has to belong to a booster. Like, there's no way, like, the state of California is like, take it whenever you want. It's on our dime.
I would agree.
Like, you know, burn all the fuel in it. Yeah. So it's got to be, like, some dude's jet.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure USC's got, I know they do. They got a million rich alums.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by the way, okay, I've been going all over the place. Did you read the profile in Vanity Fair about the dude who made Step Brothers?
You talking about Adam McKay?
Yeah, him and Will Ferrell have not talked in 10 years.
I was going to have that in the stack.
Not talked in 10 years.
They're both producers on Succession.
Yeah, but I guess Ferrell's not involved.
He's just names just on it?
Like, it's all McKay. He cast it and everything else.
I just started Succession, and at first I thought it was going to be like, you know, billionaire porn and kind of like Entourage, except white collar, and I wasn't into it. But that show's excellent. I'm only two episodes in, but the minute I saw Adam McKay's name, I was like, okay, well then I know exactly what I'm going to get, and it's excellent. It's very, very, very good.
So, yeah, him and Ferrell. Ferrell, a bitter man, comes off as a very bitter man.
People are saying USC is private.
University of Southern California is private?
You would think if it's a university that it would probably be public, but I've got two different people saying that it's private. Three different people saying it's private. So, there you go.
All right. Well, if it's private, then they can do whatever they want.
Yep. Wow. But, I mean, just think about that. they bought him a $6 million home. He's got that private plane. They bought off both of his homes for over the asking price and $110 million.
USC is private. UCLA is public. That's what I'm seeing here.
Oh, yeah. Private institution. Only 19,000 kids.
Jeez, right. They only have 19,000 at that school?
Yeah.
I always imagined being a lot bigger than that.
So did I. It's right there in La La Land with a bunch of the lefty phonies. All right, we'll be...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Kutcher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Whoops. I forgot we were a big-time syndicated show. You know, if you follow Dan Roach on Twitter, by the way, Jack's gone. Every picture of Jack Dorsey from Twitter, he has evolved his look. I'll tell you what.
Well, he looks like the leader of the Satanic Church.
Yes, he does. That's a good. That's when he has his head shaved in that long goatee. He looks like the head of the Satanic Church. Mm-hmm. So much so that Sammy Davis Jr. befriended him to join the orgies.
That was a fact that you told me several years ago that I had never heard about.
Sammy Davis Jr. was so into the orgies with the Satanic Church that he made a show where he played the devil. He was painted his pinky nail, red or black, whatever it's supposed to be.
Very strange.
He just was like, yeah, baby, the orgies are where it's at. He's like, where are you getting all these orgies?
Satan.
The Satanic Church, I guess, was like a good time. I don't think they did anything wrong. They just had these like crazy orgies. And if you're Sammy Davis Jr. and you've been getting laid for so long, he probably like walked in there and he was probably like, whoa, this is a whole new scene. I get to kickstart my heart.
I would have thought being a member of the Rad Pack would have gotten you the orgies without any of Satan stuff.
Yeah, but the Satan stuff's probably a kick. Like when people are like, you know, oh, Mick Jagger and David Bowie were having sex. You're like, yeah, I get it. Yeah. I mean, both of those dudes could have had sex with whoever they wanted in the entire world. They probably just were like,
all right, you.
Yeah,
let's go.
I've had sex with everyone else.
You're here.
Let's give this a run. So, like, I've always been like, yeah. Probably they just got sick of having sex with chicks.
And then they recorded the greatest video of all time for Dancing in the Streets.
Which never alluded in any way to their prior relationship.
South America! That video is the
best
greatest.
Is that in that video, you can tell what Bowie's trying to do. He's trying to take the piss out of it a little bit. But Jagger is so overwhelmingly committed to it.
Yeah.
that it is really something else. And the two men between them, I mean, what do you think? I mean, David Bowie just mowing down coke. But, like, what do you think the waist size of David Bowie and Mick Jagger at that time? Mick Jagger might have had a size 18 waist.
I was just going to say, combined, maybe 40 inches.
Oh, I mean, he was a twig.
I mean, you want to talk, and then they heightened it by with those big billowy, like,
that's right,
80s
puffy
fans.
Puffy shirt things. Yeah,
you know what's sad is they were probably both younger than us when they did that video.
But they lived five lifetimes.
What was that, 82, 83? Yeah,
probably.
And something like
still,
that.
You know, he's still, the Jagger's still at it.
Well, Jagger's playing like, where's Jagger? Like, now his whole thing is to go to these cities and just, like, appear at, like, a bar and have someone take a picture of him in the corner. It's like, you didn't know I was here, did you?
He did it all over Detroit. He took a picture by, like, the Joe Louis Fist and, like, all this stuff. And he's like, I don't know. And you're like, wow, you went downtown.
What, he, you know, did the private show for the Crafts. He did it eating a cheeseburger with onion rings on it at the Red Robin. Over there at Patriot Place.
I told Mick, go to the Red Robin.
That's perfect.
Get yourself a nice sandwich. They put onion rings on them,
yes,
they do.
Yes, cold cuts McCartney. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I told him, I said, Mick, you're getting too thin. Oh, no. I walked in. I was just making a midnight snack, and I saw you banging Bowie.
Do you know the amount of people who tweeted me and said, I watched the entire documentary of the Beatles, and not one sandwich made an appearance, and I was disappointed?
I told Peter Jackson never. I was gladness at the time. Tell you something. You know, we would sit with the Maharashi and drop acid and just eat deli meats. It was a gladness time. I didn't want that on you. Who's this? So anyway, the Revolution are playing tonight, which they're going to lose because they haven't played in so long.
23 days.
And if you're going to that game, God bless you, sitting in this stupid cold.
How cold is it supposed to be tonight?
I don't know. Too cold to be at the game.
It's barely 35 now.
Yeah, it's not warming up any.
I'm thinking it's not going to be warmer than this.
If they kick off or whatever the hell they call it at 7 o'clock, it's been dark for 3 hours.
Yeah, kick off at 7:30. It's New York City FC.
So 3.5 hours of darkness had preceded it, and it's negative 18 wind chill. And you're out there watching soccer.
This is the quarterfinals, by the way. This is the quarterfinals. If they keep playing, they have another home game.
You are out of your weekend. Mind if you go to that game.
They haven't played in a month?
23 days.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So you know they're going to go out there and lose. even though I'll tell you, I thought when they brought the goaltender out before the Patriots game, I'm like, I thought he was
Matt
like
Turner.
I thought it was like one of those Hero Among Us things. Like he had saved a child or something. I'm like, who's this non-athletic man? He's just like a little thin guy. He's tall. I don't know. Compared to Slater, I mean, anyone's going to look good.
Slater not doing the how do we feel at the end of the clip that they released.
I'm a little concerned. I'm going to call him.
Oh, by the way, I looked it up.
Not
do you want to hear about the Jagger age and Bowie age when they did this? Bowie was 38 and Jagger was 42.
Holy moly.
There's a slap in the face for you.
And they were considered old.
Yes, they were. Sorry, I brought the room down.
Who is this guy on the phone? I don't remember who this is. What's his name? Do you know?
Sir, hello, who is this?
Hello, it's Dimitri, John, and Freddie. How are you?
Dimitri!
Hey, Dimitri, who loves soccer and teaches us about strange nations and little...
I smartened you both up, that's why.
Right. Yes, you did.
So do you have Revolution fever heading into this evening?
Well, actually, Nick called me. I didn't call in. You called me, so you have to pay me now.
Okay. Yeah, Dimitri, last time we had you on, we were talking about the Revolution, and we got something dreadfully wrong, and you called to correct us. And I was like, well, listen, this is a man who's passionate, more passionate than anybody within 100 miles of where we're sitting right now about the soccer game. So I thought we would have you on.
You're going to get in trouble, John. You're going to get in trouble. Watch out.
Yeah, this would be rich, but John is just as important.
He won.
Thank you, Dimitri.
John, I'm sorry.
Devoted
listener. It's all right.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
It sounds the same to me. I don't know.
Rich is the one who doesn't repeat what the other guy says.
Yeah, Rich is listening.
Rich is the one who listens.
I'm sorry. I thought it was John.
Oh, that's all right.
Who is it, Rich?
This is Rich. All right, Dimitri. So what do you say about tonight? Like, are we excited about this or what?
For the first time, I have to agree with Fred, and I hate to do it, but, you know, I think the layoffs are going to be very bad for them. You know, they got a great coach. He won, five MLS championships, I think. And it's going to be tough with the layoff. And like you said, the weather. They got a home game. I think there'll be a lot of people out there. Believe me, I sat in the stand sometimes when it was that cold. It's not fun.
No.
You know?
That sucks.
And I think the layoff's going to be very tough. I think the coach will get them through. I mean, I think they can win tonight, but I don't know if they can win the championship. It's always tough to play when you had the best record during the year. Like, remember that year the Bruins had the best year?
Canadians.
Yeah. I think in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love hockey, too. I love, we never have a hockey in Greece. It's too hot. But, But I think it's going to be tough. I think, they got a good team this year. They do. Like I said, I really don't watch them that much. I do watch them sometimes. I'll go by the channels. I'm not a big Revolution fan or MLS fan. I come from Europe, so I love, I think the European leagues are superior.
So you don't think that, you're not a big MLS fan. Why? Why is that?
I think the quality of soccer, although it is getting better, I think it's the quality of the soccer is not the same.
Okay.
The style is different, but I think it's getting better, but it's just different over there. That's all we have is soccer,
Right.
What about the announcers here? Do you like them? Sarge doing the announcements at the game today? I'm sure he's getting around all ready to go.
He's pretty good. It sounds like a college announcer, but it's not too bad.
I'll keep it on the amateur level.
I'm
kidding. That is good. I listened to him before. Soccer is hard to... Soccer, as and the way a lot of Americans see it is... it doesn't have a lot of action. It's you got to be down by the. It doesn't translate well on TV.
Well, you've sold me, Dimitri. You sold me. I wasn't going to watch, but now
A,
I
not
am.
A lot of action. B, it doesn't sell well on TV. And C, it's an inferior soccer product.
Where do I tune in?
Wowzers!
I'm saying the rich. I'm saying like the American. That's how American people feel about it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
They don't see a lot of action. They don't. When you're down below, when you can see the game close up. It's a lot different.
Well, you got no problem seeing the game close up if you get a ticket.
That's right. You can move down there. I heard the ushers are cool. All right, Dimitri.
It's not like Fenway Park, for sure. You move, they'll arrest you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dimitri, you've seen it all. Thank you so much, sir, for the expert analysis. Well,
I'd like to do it again, and I'll expect my check in the mail. I'll give my address, okay?
You will not be getting paid for anything. In fact, I'm hanging up now.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'll tell you, Dimitri sold it. Inferior product on a cold night that doesn't translate well to television.
It doesn't translate well.
7:30 on Rock 92.9. Come on, come on.
Whoa, they're playing it live?
Oh, yeah.
Yeesh.
7:30.
I'll have it on the background tonight. It'll be on the fish tank.
I'll be watching the Bruins.
Oh, yeah, because DeBrusk is going to have to play. That's going to be weird. That is going to be weird. Mm.
And Detroit's not bad this year, Fred.
No, they've got games in hand.
500, right? Right about 500.
They've just played more games than Boston, basically. It's pretty much the same. They beat Boston. They lost to Boston the last time they played. That was the game that Joe Murray would give no credit to Bergeron for. That was the Bergeron.
The four-goal game.
That's right.
Yeah, he was.
He's a made man.
He was just like, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. And we're like, what? And he's like, I can't give takes on the Touch and Rich show. I can't give takes. He was having this whole thing in his own head, and I had no idea what he was going through, because he had not discussed this any of it prior. It was just in real time going on in his head. But then again, if I could have just told him then, you know what? Hang on a couple Fridays. You're going to have plus size model Ashley Alexis on. And then you'll be excited. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old Stackaroos?
Well, we'll get into some of those details about how Will Ferrell and his buddy Adam McKay aren't buddies anymore. Don't make fun of the Kardashians when you are courtside. And the Celtics apparently got away with quite a coup this offseason.
All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, Zolak just came in with a little information.
Did he come in your booth to do that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so he's like right down the hall for. Okay. So tonight, obviously, big game for the Revolution. And
thank you for Dimitri for the insight and analysis.
Which was basically, I'm not a big fan of it. So we one thing that is very near and dear to our station is that Sarge is indeed the announcer. So it's a big night for
Mike Riley, not Sarge.
That's right, Mike Riley. And so during the Patriots game, Sarge made an appearance on the PA. And this is Fred. I think you have the clip.
I do have it.
During the coin toss, right? Slater about to walk out there, and right next to him is Matt Turner. Let's take a listen.
Fans, direct your attention to the 50-yard line for the coin toss. The New England Revolution set a Major League Soccer single-season record with 73 points, and they own home field advantage for the playoffs.
Orange slices for everyone. Come and get it. Popsicles after the game.
Joining the Patriots on the field for today's coin toss is MLS Goalkeeper of the Year for your New England Revolution, Matt Turner!
Yeah!
Oh, man!
Oh. Look at that smattering of conversations happening in the background.
It's like at the beginning of Major League when Uecker holds the microphone out of the booth trying to catch whatever crowd noise there is.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's not good. I kind of feel bad. You know, Dungeon Master Jim, what do you think?
And the place went wild.
Thank you, Dungeon Master Jim. Appreciate that.
Yes, indeed.
Well, he will be there tonight. And to all the people who are big fans, then have a great night. I'm hopefully they win. That would be fantastic.
Matt Turner!
There's like two people
that...
The
place went wild.
Started to stop their conversation for a moment. Matt Turner, that had to be overwhelming. Did he tear up? I didn't see it.
I just saw
a still photo of it.
Not sure. So there you go. Good luck to them. Hopefully they do well tonight. I'm sure you can hear that and see that all over the place. So this is somewhat interesting. You mentioned how Will Ferrell and Adam McKay weren't really best buds anymore.
They don't talk.
They are, you know, ever since Saturday Night Live, those guys have been, you know, inseparable.
Funny or Die, the Nacho Libre or whatever the company that they had, the production company.
Oh, yep. And of course, Anchorman, Step Brothers, Talladega Nights. All of the funniest skits that Will Ferrell was a part of on SNL, Adam McKay was the writer of. I mean, they're both responsible for each other's success, you know, almost equally. Well, I guess, and Fred, you said you'd read this as well, their friendship apparently came to an abrupt end a couple years ago. The reason they no longer speak is because of a casting choice that was made by Adam McKay. Now, Adam McKay has gone on to make other movies, some serious ones. He made The Big Short, that Don't Look Up movie with Leonardo DiCaprio that comes out on Netflix.
That's what he's promoting now.
Yeah.
He did the Vice President, the Cheney movie.
Yeah, not Dick. It was called... Vice, right?
Vice.
It's just called Vice. Yeah. There was a movie called Dick about Richard Nixon.
Yes, it's a screwball comedy.
That's right. And apparently Adam was working on a HBO movie about the Lakers. Remember when this was being talked about from the 1980s? He ended up casting his first choice, John C. Reilly, in the role of Jerry Buss, the team's owner at the time, instead of Will Ferrell. And he said, while reflecting on that moment, Adam said, I effed up on how I handled that. I guess he had promised Will Ferrell and then said, no, John C. Reilly's the guy.
Did you read the article?
I read the excerpts.
Okay, the article strongly infers that Ferrell got very jealous of McKay's success outside of the relationship between the two of them. And then Funny or Die, which was a project that McKay and Ferrell started, got a sponsorship from Shell. So McKay, who's like this really, really far left. In fact, this Don't Look Up movie is a whole thing about global warming. It's not about global warming, but the meteor represents the climate situation in his mind of the United States. So they got this Shell sponsorship. So he said this was the worst decision in the history of the world. Like, it said it in worse terms and got out of Funny or Die. And then it strongly suggests in the article that Ferrell didn't like that McKay was holding court with these, you know, Hollywood A-listers and got a little jealous that he was moving on without him. And I guess Ferrell and Reilly are best friends. So when Reilly was offered the Jerry Buss role, he went and told Ferrell, and then Ferrell then just cut off all relationships. And McKay's like emailed him and stuff and tried to rekindle the relationship, but Ferrell will not get back to him. So they are dead in the water.
Well, when they broke up in 2019, their production company, Adam McKay was quoted as saying, the two of us will always work together creatively and be friends, and we recognize that we are lucky as hell to end this venture as such. But Vanity Fair notes that the statement was not true. They said, quote, the last time they talked was a curt phone conversation agreeing to break up. And Adam said, well, I said, well, I mean, we're splitting up the company. And he's basically like, yeah, we are. And basically he was like, have a good life. And I'm like, F, Ferrell's never going to talk to me again. So it did not end well. That stinks. Because, I mean, I've told you before, Step Brothers is my favorite comedy. And if there's any kind
Jonah
of
Jonah Hill's too.
Is it really?
That's why Jonah Hill was so psyched for this role. So basically what McKay's going to do now are these pieces that are either humorous satire going over a big world issue or serious movies. And I don't know where that leaves Ferrell at his age without that writing partner, without that guy.
So what has Ferrell done since that breakup? I'm trying to think. I know.
Do you know Michael Moore called Talladega Nights one of the most subversive films of all time?
I don't even know what that means.
Subversive, meaning that it was a indictment on the United States and the culture of the United States. And that they kind of got over on NASCAR and everyone because of what the clown characters that were representing everyday Americans. Some people look at Talladega Nights, I'm telling you the truth, as this piece of like cinematic, like scorching political satire.
Really?
I swear to God.
I would say that's reading far too into something.
Well, the Americans and the way they look at Sacha Baron Cohen, like, you know, foreign countries as being inferior, even when they're superior, and da-da-da-da-da. That was the feeling of the film.
Okay.
Well, that's all I can tell you, is that Michael right. Moore thought it was a scathing piece of political satire.
What about family dynamics and stepbrothers?
No such show.
See, when I saw Talladega Nights, I thought it was funny when he was thinking he was on fire, running around in his underwear on the track.
Well, he represents, apparently Will Ferrell in that represents America.
Okay. And the bake is what is the economy? Is that what it is?
Well, you have to throw in some, you know, slapstick stuff for the dummies to, you know, get their $5.
And I would be one of the dummies.
That's right.
I didn't want anything more than just dumb jokes.
No, even if it's on commercial TV, I'll stick around for Talladega Nights.
Best character in that movie?
Oh,
Gary Cole. There's no question. It's Will Ferrell's dad.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best one in that movie.
Yeah.
Might be the best one in Office Space, too.
Oh, yeah. Maybe, well, everyone loves him in Office Space.
Maybe
yeah.
the best one in Dodgeball as well.
Dodgeball's not a good film.
Dodgeball's a great film.
Dodgeball is a great film.
Dodgeball's yeah, great.
Let's not go crazy.
Rip Torn was fantastic in
let's
that.
Let's not go crazy.
When's the last time you saw Dodgeball?
It was recently. Very recently. I saw the last half hour of it, probably within a month.
I thought Dodgeball was great.
No. No.
Stiller was great in it, too.
Yeah, it's great.
Trying to help that pizza.
Yeah, I like it when they got...
Dodgeball's a great movie.
Yeah, when he's throwing wrenches at him, it was hysterical.
The first time you saw if you could dodge a ball, you could dodge a wrench, you could dodge a ball, you laughed.
Probably not.
I laughed my ass off the first time I saw it.
No, you've just mentioned great comedies. Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, of course, both Anchormans. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't put Dodgeball in that category. I think if you sat down with everyone involved in Dodgeball, they'd pretty much tell you it's not a great comedy. I don't think Stiller would sit in here and go, my greatest triumph was dodgeball.
I think he'd be proud of that.
I don't think he would be ashamed of it. I certainly don't think he'd be, like, super proud of it. I can assure you that I bet you if you said anybody that was in that movie, Don, except for the pirate guy.
The patches of who?
Talk about a joke that did not land. Woof. That you have to admit the Patches O'Houlihan thing did not land.
Patches O... You talking about the guy, Rip Torn?
No.
He's the best character
in the
movie.
No, the pirate guy. The guy who thinks
Steve
he's a pirate.
Steve the pirate. Oh, I completely forgot about that
guy. Yeah, of course you did.
Because there were so many great jokes.
Because,
I forgot about that
Because
one.
The guy who thinks he's a pirate, I understand when they were writing it, how that would seem absurd and funny.
Was it the name of the bar, the Dirty Sanchez?
Oh, Johnny. Well, now you won me over, baby, yeah. With that sly wordplay. All right, I'm getting a colonoscopy tomorrow, so I will be having severe diarrhea during the show, so I will not be here, but I assure you that tomorrow will be a big show.
I don't even know who's in. I don't either.
Well, I imagine it would be Ashley Alexis.
Adam Jones. All right.
All right.
Well, there you go. So yes, have fun. Yeah. You can argue with him over if the core is young or not. All right, that'll do it for us, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.